The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Our gospel reading this morning, that of as Jesus walking on water, has resulted in many attempts at humor. Most likely from this very pulpit. I cannot remember if Pastor Lever has offered this one particular story to you in years past. If so, it was probably 3 years ago or 6 years ago or 9 years ago when this text presented itself. I know I have not. And though I am not opposed to using humor from time to time, mine is usually a mild sarcasm, worked between the lines of what I consider to be some important truths concerning our faith. But it's summertime, and the long season of Sundays after Pentecost. So I'm going out of my comfort zone. The story proceeds. The members of a call committee in search of a new pastor for their congregation were not exactly thrilled with the prospect of interviewing a female candidate. One of the members sarcastically suggested that the best way to find out if she's a good minister is to take her fishing. So they did. Very soon, one of the committee members snagged his line on something and he couldn't pull it in. "No problem," said the woman minister. She got out of the boat, walked across the water, unsnagged the line, and walked back and got into the boat. "Ha," said one of the committee members, "just like a woman, can't swim." Better told by a male pastor than a female pastor. The heart of today's gospel reading is not, however, the wonder of water walking. Whatever happened in that lake, on that lake, the first century faithful did not find this story a challenge to actually scamper across the waves as testimony to their faith. Not at all. They weren't thus challenged. So why was Jesus walking on water? Why not just appear in the boat? He could do that. Why not just fly over the boat seeking words of power, proclaiming them over the wind and waves? He's already fed over 5,000 people at one seating. He's healed so many of the sick. And earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, he's already calmed the wind and waves from within the boat after the disciples woke him from his sleep. It is because in the Israelite mind, the waters were a place of chaos, just as they were in the beginning when darkness was over the face of the deep and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And in the flood of Noah's day, and in the Exodus when the Red Sea swallowed up the armies of Pharaoh. Chaos, The waters were related. They were seen as not inviting. But God's power over the waters brings life in creation, a new beginning in the story of Noah, and deliverance from Egypt for the captive Israelites. So our story of Jesus walking on water is not a gravity-defying act, but rather a magnificent metaphor on the real miracle. And that's the miracle of faith. Trust in God to be there when needed. Faith here in this story is courage to brave the deep, born of Jesus' call. It means risking something others laugh at as impractical or impossible. When Peter stepped out of the boat and began walking on the water, he showed forth great faith in Jesus' invitation to come to him. But when Peter noticed the strong wind and began to sink, he evokes Jesus' words to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Some people like to point to the undeniable fact that Peter seems to lack some faith. Others like to point to the undeniable fact that Peter at least shows a little bit of faith, and that he alone risked getting out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus. Is not a little faith better than none at all? What a great miracle it is to have even a little faith in Christ. What a gift. Now, this gospel story offers us a very specific context. It all takes place during a storm. If you have ever been on the chaotic waters in a small fishing boat when a storm blew in, as I was as a boy, or on a U.S. destroyer, as I was as a sailor, when a violent storm lifted our ship literally out of the waters, then you know the fearful circumstances of the disciples, especially Peter, who finds himself out of the safety of the boat, however limited that safety might have been. And if one understands the storm as a metaphor for those frightening times in our lives, then one starts to enter into this story and see not just some cognitive conclusion drawn from the story, but a truth for our own lives. We all experience those times when we move or are removed from a safe harbor to where the winds are against us in life. Perhaps the winds of depression, boredom, seemingly unconquerable addiction, lost friendships, random violence, cancer, hunger, war, just can't take it anymore, and so on. Winds against us that prevent us from moving forward, that paralyze us in place. So, it is good news for us to take from this story that it's into such storms, when we are really lost in chaos, that God comes to us. The longer we live, the more perhaps we experience this. We know this. But do we believe as well this truth, that when we come up against the limits of God's creatures that we are, that God becomes of gut importance? In our dependency, we become aware of our need specifically for God, even when the whole experience frightens us to near death. I think it was Martin Buber who said that if you ever encounter a moment when you experience a reality to which you seem to be deeply drawn, and from which you feel frighteningly repelled, you may be pretty sure that you are dealing with the divine. The experience of God is a movement from self-sufficiency to uneasiness to trust. We see this progression in this story with Peter in the boat, where he can at least do something to help himself, out in the water where he becomes uneasy, and into the arms of Jesus where he is now safe. This progression is wonderfully depicted in a fresco in St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Strasbourg, France. It is a church that has had a stormy history, to say the least. It was built in the 7th century and rebuilt in the 15th century. In 1524, it became a Lutheran church as a result of the Reformation. In 1681, King Louis XIV gave the chancel back to the Roman Catholics, and a wall was built between the chancel and the nave in this constantly changing church. Sometime between 1895 and 1900, the chancel was given back to the Lutherans. Maybe no one wanted it. And it is one of the few Lutheran churches in France today. Now, there's a painting on the back wall in St. Peter's, this large fresco, painting done with watercolors on wet plaster. And this fresco depicts our gospel reading today. 11 disciples in the boat with Peter standing on the water holding on to Jesus. The whole story is told in the painting. The focus is upon Jesus reaching out, holding on to Peter, saving him. And the message that comes through the painting is that Peter lives on the edge, as we all do. The other disciples play it safe. They stay in the boat. Peter in the water is the risk taker, testing who Jesus is for real. He is not a ghost. He is real. Flesh and blood, body and blood. And the stormy waters, the chaos that provides fear, is the storm that engulfs all disciples of Jesus who seek to answer the call and follow the commands of their Lord. It is true for all of us. This gospel is very relevant for us today as we sit in the relative protection of this nave. It's a story about trust and risk. Jesus is with his disciples. Nothing else but the chaos to distract them. It has nothing to do with the crowds of people he fed the day before. Nothing to do with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the skeptics. Nothing to do with anyone but his people. It is just about Jesus and his disciples. And it shows that even Jesus' disciples get into difficult situations, need reassurance from time to time. That is true for all of us as disciples today. We who are here in church, in the relative safety of this building. There are times when we are afraid, times when we lose confidence. There are times when we need to be renewed, strengthened in our faith. There are times when we need our Lord. And that is what Jesus does for us, his disciples, in today's gospel reading. It ends with those in the inverted church nave called a boat worshiping Jesus saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, we don't worship here in that inverted boat. If you think of a lot of church buildings, of course, the wood goes up to a peak. If you turn it upside down, it's a boat. We have kind of a flat boat here. It's a boat nonetheless. That's why we call it a nave, navy. You get the idea. Nave. Here, we are safe. Out through those doors, maybe not so much. Every pastor has heard memorable stories from his or her parishioners through the years about great faith and painful doubt. One such story I recall from a delightful woman named Catherine, her real name. I found a note in my file at home this week as I was preparing for worship this morning. The conversation we had took place at Holy Spirit Hospital some years ago. I had mentioned to her during our talk, our visit, that the upcoming gospel reading for that Sunday would be the story of Peter walking on water. I asked her if she knew the story. She replied, "Oh, yes. I know a lot of the Bible stories very well. I like that one. It's one of my favorites." Catherine said that when she was a child growing up during the Great Depression years, the only books the family could afford to buy were a dictionary and a Bible. And so that is what she read. Times were hard, very hard, she said. Work and food hard to come by. She said her family survived day to day. Perhaps that poverty has turned out to be a great treasure for her. Those stories of faith and comfort meant so very much to her in past difficult times. And now, as she battled the strong winds of increased age, blindness, and cancer, they seemed to mean so much more. She said that she wasn't always sure about her faith. It was always there during hard times, but barely seen, she said, sometimes. But when hard times never ceased to go away, she said, for her, for some reason, she trusted God all the more. Before we said our final farewell, I asked Catherine if I could share our conversation with parishioners. She said that I could. That was really stepping out of the boat for a woman who was so private and shy. And so I have once again. It was her way of stepping out of her comfort zone, out of the boat. Our generation could use such poverty of things as she experienced if it means a richness of hearing a gospel that can sustain us through the storms of life, right up until that very last storm. Jesus would bid us also this day to come out of the safety of this boat after our worship of God. Walk on the chaotic waters of this world in his service and place our trust in his salvation. Amen.